I'd like for you to stand with me, turn to your Bibles. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians today, okay? So I'm in this series called We're Only Human, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm really loving this series. I'm having a blast with it. I dealt with the first one, was with dealing with critical people. So let me tell you what I'm going to talk about next week. I think you're going to love this one. Next week, I'm going to deal with how to handle manipulating people. Got anybody on your job that manipulates you? Got a child in your home manipulating you? No, I'm not going to go that way. I'll just leave that one alone. Something in your life, neighborhood. Somebody in the neighborhood, somebody manipulating your life. I'm going to talk about how do you handle people that manipulate you. And I think you're really going to grow out of the Word of God. But today, I've kind of been talking with these negative things that you got to deal with in life because they're there. But today, I want to deal with something just a little bit more important to you is, okay, Pastor, how do I build positive things that I need in my life? What do I need to do? So I want you to look at this because today I want to deal with how do I build strong relationships as a believer that will sustain me to grow in God? How do I build the good stuff? I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Short little verse, okay? Look at this. It says, therefore, encourage one another. Say that line with me. Encourage one another. And do what? Build each other up. So today, I'm going to talk to you about not dealing with the negative people, the critical or the manipulators. We'll deal with manipulators. But what do I do to encourage other people and build each other up, that we have a great church family and great believers here? So my message today is bodybuilders. Bodybuilders, amen? You are a bodybuilder. So before you sit down, why don't you compliment and encourage someone right now and look at them and say, you've been working out, haven't you? Come on, tell them that, amen? Go ahead. You've been working out, haven't you? You can be seated in the house of God. Gonna start this service off lying, amen? I want you to get this statement. This is so important to everybody here. Here's the deal. I need you, you need me. You are a vital part of the body of Christ and for your own personal growth. And here's the deal. We need each other to grow each other. You will not grow outside of relationships with people, especially with God's people. We need each other to grow each other. I want you to say that with me, okay? Let's say it together. We need each other to grow each other. You know, our mission statement is bringing people to Christ and equipping them to be like Him. That is the lens which we put everything through as we process and move forward, is bringing people to Jesus and equipping them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. But part of our core values is, how does a person grow? So we created the core values, and it's the acronym of the word GROW. How many remember when we did that? How many can remember that? I can pull kids out of the nursery department, three-year-olds, that can tell me our core values. We got a song, we got a nursery book, and it's off the word GROW. And G stands for, what is it, everybody? Growing in Christ. R stands for what? Relating to others. That's serving each other, being in small groups. O is what? Outreach to our world. And W is worshiping God. Those four letters have to keep operating your life, or you're not going to stunt your spiritual growth. One of those primary functions is the R in the GROW path. It's relating to others. So what does that mean? Here's what it means. Relating to others under the R means we seek to build. That means seek. That means you've got to be intentional. You got to seek it out. We seek to build life-giving, authentic friendships, families, and communities that glorify God. So when we're hanging out together and we're laughing, we were with a bunch of guys yesterday. We were at the Grand Rapids Auto Gallery. We were eating ribs and laughing and teaching and instructing. And guess what? In the middle of that laughter, we were glorifying God eating that rib. Come on. Amen. So we need to seek this out. This is what we do. Now you say, why is this so important, Pastor? Well, when you look in the New Testament, this is just in the New Testament alone. Did you know that if you'll look up the word each other or one another, did you know it appears in the New Testament over 100 times? That means that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is showing that if you really want to grow, you will not do it outside of relating with other people in the body of Christ. Now, I love some of y'all that are watching online, and we have the ministry of the online ministry because it's for folks that are on vacation or you get sick or ill, or some of you are homebound, and that's why it's here, and we pray it's a ministry to you. But for some of you, you think that you're going to grow outside of the body of Christ and be what Jesus wants you to be by just being isolated at home because you got hurt or offended by someone in church or by a pastor or preacher, and I'm really sorry about that. I mean, I'm sorry that happened to you. It shouldn't have happened to you. But I'm going to tell you that you will not be what God wants you to be outside of building relationships with God's brothers and sisters. Now, I know you didn't get to pick us, but this is the family, okay? This is the gene pool, okay? We're it. I know some of us are granolas. We're a bunch of fruits, nuts, and flakes, but this is it. But we're redeemed and we're saved, and together we build a community that glorifies God. And so part of this bodybuilding is that it won't happen outside of your relationship with each other, because over 100 times... He says, one another, each other. That means you've got to be in relationship to be a bodybuilder. So, if you're going to do bodybuilding, how many know you got to work the muscles in order to build the body, right? So I'm going to deal with some spiritual muscle today that's going to help you work out with me a little bit. Amen? Amen. So here are some things I want you to get. How do I build the body, Pastor? How do I build in this Only Human series? How do I build others and build myself? Here, I want you to write these things down. Ready? Number one, first of all, you need to prize one another. Prize one another. Value each other. What does that mean? That means you got to work the muscle of acceptance. You've got to accept people where they are in their journey faith with Jesus Christ. And you got to accept them with all their quirks, all their hang-ups. You've got to accept them the way they are. You're not the adjuster. The Holy Spirit is the adjuster. You receive them. You say, what do you mean? Romans 15:7 says, watch this. Let's just read it out loud with me. Come on, let's read this out. This is an easy one. Read it out loud. Ready? Accept one another just as Christ. So here's the sinless Son of God that has no sin. No sin can be around him because he's absolutely holy. But he let the likes of Sam Reifkugel and you into the kingdom of God with all our sin, with all our quirks. And he said, I accept you, but I won't leave you that way because I love you too much. Come on, think about it. He accepted you with all the adultery of the past. He accepted you with all the drug addiction. He accepted you with all the pornography. He accepted you with all your quirks and all your sin and all your dysfunction, and didn't push you out, but said, come on in. Sit at the table with me. This is where you belong. He says, if you want to be a bodybuilder in the kingdom of God at Grand Rapids First, you got to accept people just the way they are. You let God and his word do the adjusting. Can somebody say amen to that? Because how many know we're different in this body? Look down the row. That's right. That's part of your spiritual gene pool, man. There's uniqueness in this body. Look at us. Come on, look at us. We are so unique. That's what I love about this church, man. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:12. He says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. That means that, folks, everybody in this place is important. Every single person at every single level, whatever the faith journey, you're important, and we need you and you need us. You say, well, Pastor, I accept everybody. No, 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 no. Here's how you can tell when you really accept people. You ready for this? Here's how you can tell when you accept people. You ready? It's when you stop insisting that they be like you. Now, that's a pretty good little patty cake. Jesus will take it. Jesus will take it. That's okay. Jesus will take it. I'm not picking on churches, but it's what I refuse to be, and I refuse to allow this church to be, is where everybody is just like us. I know some people that the reason they're in that church is because it's the exact kind of music that they like. I know some people that are in the same church because it's the exact race of people I like. I know some people that are in churches because it's in the exact socioeconomic kind of clientele I like, and I feel safe with my children there. Now, let me tell you what that is. When they make you all wear the same clothes and all sing the same song and all wear the same clothes, let me tell you what they call that, where you can't have any diversity or express any kind of change. You have to do what everything everybody else does. You know what they call those? Cults. They call them cults. You got to shave your head, wear the orange robe, carry a rose, and hit a little, you know, little chime. Ding, ding, ding. That's called a cult. But what I love about the body of Christ is God says, you celebrate your differences. You celebrate your age differences here. I was up here watching the worship, and I was watching you. I was watching the young adults and the teenagers up here worshiping God, and I saw two grandmas and a grandpa up here busting a move right there with you. I mean, how often do you see that? In fact, I've never seen that at a rock concert. I've never seen that in the world, but I can see it right here at church where you got teenagers up here praising with 80-year-old, 90-year-olds, only in the body of Christ. I don't see that even in the world. You see, but he says, you're different. That means some of us are intellects and some of us are little, yeah. Some of us are rich, some of us are poor. You celebrate every single person. You prize every person that comes through these doors, whether they're male or whether they're female, whether they're white, they're black, yellow. Thank you, Jesus. Well, no matter who they are, you celebrate them when they walk through this door. Don't you push them out. Don't you act like they got your pew. We will find you another pew. We accept people just the way they are, but we let God do his work in their life. It's not all the same music, not all the same style. I love it. I love it. You got people that sit there and they come from neighborhoods that have a gated community. You got some people straight out of the hood. I love it. Rich, poor, intellect, derelict, we don't care. Come on, everybody's important in the body of Christ. The toe, the little finger, the eye, the hair, the nose. Oh, just celebrate and praise. Prize the body of Christ, man. Man, we even celebrate the lint in the belly button. We love it all. Amen. You know, we don't prize each other enough. I'm gonna land on this for a moment. You know how you prize one another? Here's how you really prize one another. You prize one another by praising one another. Not lying to each other, but genuinely praising people for their attributes and things that are different from you. Literally celebrating them, apprising them, telling them it means to appreciate people. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. But we request of you, brothers and sisters, that you do what? Say that word with me. Appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. And I know that's talking about people that teach the word and instruct. I get that. But that is simply a characteristic of God and the body of Christ, is that we are always prizing each other by praising each other, which means we appreciate one another. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, when we moved here, we bought during the bubble, the housing bubble, and like the rest of y'all, you know, in 2008, you just sat there and watched your house go down to absolutely nothing. But you know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful now that our houses, our homes are appreciating. So what does that mean to appreciate? It means the value goes up in the house. And here's what happens. If I'd have sold my house at the bottom of the housing market, it wasn't appreciating enough, so I got less out of it. But now that the house is being appreciated, I'm getting more of my house because the appreciation has gotten up. Let me ask you a question. Could it be that maybe you're not getting out of your spouse what you ought to get because you're not appreciating it, therefore you don't receive a greater value out of it? When I see people that sit there and gripe about their job and gripe about their church and they can find nothing to appreciate in their church or their home or their marriage, I can tell you something. The reason they're not getting out is because they're not appreciating by valuing it. Therefore, they don't get more out of it. The more my house appreciates, the more I get out of it. Listen, if you'll appreciate your parents more, you'll get more out of your parents. If you'll appreciate and honor your wife and husband more, you'll get more out of it. If you'll appreciate God more, you'll get more out of him. Come on, how many believe it's time to start prizing one another by praising one another, by appreciating one another? Seriously, send your wife some flowers this week, and after she picks herself off the floor after having a cardiac arrest, watch her give more to you. Go to your boss that you've griped about and pin him a note saying, thank you for employing me. Thank you. Go write a note to your spouse. Go write a note to your kids. Go send somebody something and just tell them how much you appreciate them. You'll get more out of them. Man, I meet employers that they think the way to keep people and motivate people is to start pitting them against each other. Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to lose your job if you don't do this. Have you ever seen that happen? Or they threaten them that they're going to lose their job. Or they threaten their spouse, I'm going to leave you if you don't, you know. You don't get nothing out of them. That's the worst dysfunction you can ever have in a marriage, a home, or a company. That's right. That's why around here, let me tell you, it doesn't mean you don't challenge issues that come up, but you show the value of people and you appreciate them, and more comes out of them when you show them you're important, you're special, the body of Christ. How many believe we got to start prizing each other to get more out of each other? Amen? Amen. So church, let me appreciate you for a moment. Can I appreciate y'all? Yeah, thank you. I can't lose that y'all. Sorry about that. It's still there. It looks goofy coming out of a guy with slanted eyes, but can I appreciate y'all? I love this church. I cannot believe that God would allow Brenda and me to pastor this church. I mean, we're still shocked. I'm serious. I mean, I wouldn't want to go anywhere else in this whole world because of the way y'all are. Seriously. You don't let Brenda and me and the leadership do this thing by ourselves. You're sitting there right beside us. I appreciate you all. You own the vision. You're generous people. You're kind. You're always given. We've given millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars away to missions and to needy folks and things around the world because that's the way you are. You're just that way. I love that. I appreciate you. I'm telling you, growing gains. Y'all are sitting there, yeah, go. You're owning the vision. I mean, you're helping schools out. Your schools your kids don't even go to. You're helping them. You're painting them. You're restoring them. You're putting shoes on every child at Cesar Chavez Elementary School, putting brand new shoes on their feet. They're not even your kids. I appreciate you. I appreciate the 720 volunteers it takes to run this ministry every single week. They don't ask for a dime. They do it with a smile. We even got guys out there with signs saying, come on in. Did you see the signs today? I appreciate that. Why? Because you're important. Hand to hand. There are some of our folks in here. Every weekend, you're making bags of food for kids, and we secretly put it in their lockers because we know those kids will probably not have a good meal over the weekend, but you see value in those kids. They don't even know you, but you put those meals in there. That's the kind of people you are. Prized by God because you prize God and you prize the people that are from God. Oh, look at the person beside you. Say, just tell them, I'm just proud of you. Just tell them that, amen, I'm just proud of you. Don't let it go to your head. Somebody will zing you in a minute. So, okay, we got to work that muscle, the muscle of acceptance. Okay, hold on. Are you really prizing people? Because if you really know that you're prizing people, you won't insist that they have to be like you. Secondly, we are to perfect one another. You want to work your muscle? That's the muscle of discipline, the muscle of discipleship. Colossians 3:16, I got a cruise here. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Watch this. Teach and counsel each other. Teach and counsel each other. Say it out loud. Would you folks say it with me? Teach and counsel. Say that again. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Sing those psalms and hymns, spiritual songs with God with thankful heart. What does that mean to teach? That teach means that this is imparting the positive truth of the Word of God that disciples and grows people. And here's the deal. Some of you have been in the church a long time and you've got wisdom and you've got experience and you've gone through crisis and you've gone through issues and God's matured you. You know what he's saying? It's time for you to step up to the plate. You have something that will help perfect other people. In fact, I'm going to challenge you. Some of you need to be hosting a small group. Take the challenge for 8 weeks, and all you got to do is push the button, and we'll give you the questions. You can even do it right here. We're getting ready to open more spaces through Growing Gains. Come on, get on in there and say, I'll take the challenge. You've got experience. Don't let that, you're getting spiritually flabby. Work that muscle. You have wisdom. You have knowledge. Grow in the maturity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then let me take this out. It's not just perfecting one another. Some of us need to be perfected. There's some of y'all that need to get involved intentionally in the life of small groups. You're not going to grow outside of relating to each other by perfecting one another. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Sam? You can start tonight. Tonight you can start. Did you see the flyer when you walked in? That's for our small groups tonight. Here's what you do. Go to entry I. Just go over there. You get right in there, they'll be waiting for you, the big old cheesy grins, and they're going to tell you, come on, we got a place for you. Some of you need to get involved in small groups. Why? So you can start maturing and disciple yourself in the Word of God. Because here's the problem we have in our culture. Right now, we are growing in numbers with theologians in residence in the body of Christ around the nation. And when I mean that, I mean there are people that have not been rooted in the Word, not studying the Word, not perfecting themselves. And now their theology is this. Well, I feel that. Well, here's what I believe. And they never invoke the word of God. They never read the scripture. So now God is going to be what they have created in their mind by what they believe and what they feel. Folks, experience is never to be the basis for your theology. Sound biblical teaching, however, is the basis for the experiences from the word of God. I like something C.S. Lewis said. He says, if you do not listen to theology, that will not mean that you have no ideas about God. It will mean that you have a lot of wrong ones. And people have a lot of wrong ones. Why? Because they're not intentionally putting themselves into a path of discipleship to perfect others and perfect themselves. Come on, you ready to bodybuild? Work the discipleship muscle. Here's the next one. You got to learn to pardon one another. That's the muscle of forgiveness. Now, you hang around me long enough, you'll have to forgive me. You hang around this body enough, you'll have to forgive me. You say, well, I was looking for a perfect church. Wrong. It's not around. You won't find it. You know why I know? Because you're married. That's why I know. I bet your wife, your husband's never hurt your feelings, ever, have they? Because it's the perfect marriage, right? Yeah, we'll have what you're having. Yes, amen. That doesn't mean that we're not going to be sit here and act like, no, listen, the reason why there are successful marriages here is because you pardon each other when your flaws are exposed. Look, let's look at Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians 4:31 out of the Eugene Peterson's contemporary language, the message. It says, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as what? Quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Come on, you know what he did? He didn't say, well, here, I'll forgive Ralph Kugel for this one, but this one, he's a rascal. I'm not going to forgive that one. He says, no. When you and I come to Jesus Christ, he said, I respond and I forgive you quickly, and I do it thoroughly, and there's no sin that will hold you hostage ever again, because when my blood was shed for you, it was to do it thoroughly and quickly. How many of you thank God that he did that for you and me? He says, now in turn, do that for other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Look at this. It's amazing. Carl Menninger, who is a famed psychiatrist, he said that if he could convince all of his patients in his psychiatric hospital, he said, if I can convince them that they were totally forgiven by God, he said 75% of them could walk out the door that day. And you need to realize you've been forgiven by God thoroughly and completely. If there's anybody in this room that thinks that your sin is so bad, you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm doing right now. I'm here to announce to you, Jesus says, I forgive you quickly and I forgive you thoroughly, because I'm going to show you that's the way I want you to treat others. Look what James 5:16 says. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray. Everybody say pray. Pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. He says, when you pardon one another because you prize one another, because you want to perfect one another, he says you'll be healed and your restoration will begin and be complete. It's good, amen? Everybody say pray. That's my last muscle you got to work. Just pray for one another. Man, if you can't seem to forgive them right now, just pray for them. Just ask God to help them. That's your intercession muscle. Start praying for one another. Pray for people to be filled with hope. Pray for them to be filled with hope. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Watch this. Then you will overflow with what, everybody? Confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that we're calling this new area reaching first hope. And what do? We intercede first. We pray. We build relationship, but we pray first. We intercede. Why? So that confident hope and joy will come into the hearts of God's people. We got to pray for one another. I gotta pray. He said, I don't know if prayer works, Pastor. How many know who Tony, how many have ever heard of Tony Campolo, sociologist, pastor? How many, let me see your hands. You ever heard of Tony Campolo? So you get, yeah, you get a little frame of reference of Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo was speaking at a Bible college. It was a full gospel. It was a Pentecostal Bible college. And he was getting ready to go speak, but eight guys got him together and said, hey, we need to pray for you before you go out and speak. And they said, so they brought him in the back room. They said, kneel down here. And they start praying. And you know us Pentecostals, they pray long. And he said, they start praying longer and longer and louder and louder. And they all had their hands on my head. And he said, the longer they stood there, I was on my knees. He said, the more they started leaning their weight on my head. And he said, I couldn't hardly take it. And they were just, he said, God, just please help these guys get done with their prayer. And he said, they prayed a long time. He said, I got tired finally. He said, I was wore out. And he said, and then he said, all of a sudden I'm wore out. He said, they stop praying for me. He said, they start praying for other people. And he said, oh Lord, he said, I'm never going to get out of here. But he said one guy started praying for a guy, and his name was Charlie Stoltzfus. And Tony Campolo recorded the guy's prayer. And this is what he said. The guy prayed, dear Lord, you know Charlie Stoltzfus. He lives in that silver trailer down the road a mile. You know the trailer, Lord, just down the road on the right-hand side. Lord, Charlie told me, this morning, he's going to leave his wife and three children. Step in and do something, God. Bring that family back together. Tony Campolo, he finally got done preaching at that Bible college. And he was glad they were finished preaching, praying over him. And he got done preaching. And he said, so he took off to head back to his next place he had to go. And he was going down the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And when he was driving down the Pennsylvania Turnpike, Tony Campolo noticed this hitchhiker off the side of the road. And he just felt like, you know, I just felt like I should pick him up. So he picked up this hitchhiker. Let me read the rest of Tony Campolo's story. The guy's in his car. He said, we drove a few minutes. And I said, hi, my name's Tony Campolo. What's yours? He said, my name is Charlie Stoltzfus. I couldn't believe it. I took off the turnpike at the next exit and headed back. He got a bit uneasy with that. After a few minutes, he said, hey, mister, where are you taking me? I said, I'm taking you home. He narrowed his eyes and asked, why? I said, because you just left your wife and three kids, right? That blew him away. Yeah, that's right. With shock written all over his face, he plastered himself against the car door and never took his eyes off me. Then I really did him in as I drove right to the silver trailer. When I pulled up, his eyes seemed to bulge as he asked, how did you know that I lived here? I said, God told me. I believe he did tell me. When he opened the trailer door, his wife exclaimed, you're back, you're back. He whispered in her ear, and the more he talked, the bigger her eyes got. Then I said with real authority, the two of you sit down. I'm going to talk, and you two are going to listen to me. Man, did they listen. That afternoon, I led those two young people to Jesus Christ. It's amazing what happens when you know you're prized. When you know that you can perfect somebody because God's taking you through life journeys in the wisdom of the word. When you start pardoning people, you don't expect everybody to be like you. And then when you really start praying for people, that they'll find hope. That's more than being just human. That's living a supernatural life through God. Work those muscles.